Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it. It's a navy blazer,
yeah,
but it's so much more.
Yeah,
I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say, yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Georgina Blasky, and Heather Steele. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
How's everyone?
Oh, I'm feeling really Monday-ish. I've just got to say it.
You weren't in the office last week, so are you feeling it particularly today?
I am, and I don't know if anyone else was kept away by the whirling winds.
Yes.
But I think I fell asleep at 2 and woke up at 4.
Ooh.
So I'm really tired because my dog was howling.
Because of the wind?
Because of the wind. Oh. And I should have brought her into my bedroom and just... we could have all fallen asleep, but instead I left her downstairs thinking she'll be quiet soon. And I went down this morning and I had left a pair of Sweaty Betty leggings to return because they weren't the right size on the side, and she has chewed through the whole of one
and
leg.
They're expensive.
I had only bought them on Friday.
Absolute revenge on her part.
Total revenge, yeah. So that was a good start to the
great
week.
The house opposite us has scaffolding up.
Oh, no.
And so they've got those, like, sheets of tarpaulin.
Oh, no.
So the sound, oh, not the same as you. I actually slept quite well, but I was kind of disturbed by it a few times, and Ben said he was just awake all night.
Oh,
yeah. To the tarpaulin. It, like, reverberates through our whole house.
Well, that, yeah.
It sounds like it's coming from the back of the house. It's really weird how the sound works.
It sort of bounces off the buildings, yeah. But that was exactly it. So two doors down, both sides of us, actually. Indeed. Either way, there's scaffolding and tarpauling, and I think it freaked her out anyway.
Yeah. Oh, bless her.
Yeah. So I feel like a really bad dog owner today.
Wow, that's sad. Heather, how are you?
Fine. I'm also tired, but more because boring chat for most, but I watch the American football because my partner watches it, and he supported a team called the Bengals since he was 8, and for the first time in, well, since 1989, they've made it into the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So he watched that last night. But yeah, that finished at about 11:45, and then he insisted we had a drink to celebrate. And I was like, I need to start work at 6:15. But yeah, I only had like a small drink, but then yeah, basically just couldn't get to sleep. So yeah, I was sort of like you, like still awake just after 1, you know, counting it down.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. But no, good otherwise.
Otherwise good.
Yeah.
Lou, Georgina, I'm looking at you. Did anyone watch the tennis yesterday?
No, I didn't.
We listened to it on the radio.
Did you?
I really wanted, I was going to watch the highlights.
Yeah, I was like following it via social, basically,
oh my God,
but I didn't watch it in real.
Well, we started it, and then Ben went for a run, I walked the dog, we had brunch, we came home and they were still playing.
Yeah, because wasn't it over 5 hours?
Like 5 and a quarter
yeah.
hours.
Insane.
So, oh my God, we watched, I think, probably the last 20 minutes. Or I mean, Ben was watching yeah. religiously throughout brunch, which was super fun. But yeah, oh my God, it was so incredible. And Ben said to me last night that, so they finished at 1:30 in the morning, Australia time. This, by the way, we should say, is the Australian Open final, which was Nadal versus Medvedev. And Ben said that straight afterwards, Nadal went to the gym and did a half an hour warm down. Like, that's the difference between a human and a
superhuman.
Super
athlete. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And it's great because he thought his career was over, didn't he, before Christmas. He had COVID, had injuries.
Yeah, he was out for 6 months,
yeah.
isn't he?
Yeah. Now he's like the all-time great.
Yeah. I mean, that's
at the moment,
just
the
what
men.
A title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to know that that's you, isn't it?
Do you know when the Netflix docu's coming out? About the tennis.
No, I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, they're doing a Drive to Survive.
I don't know that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Version of the tennis.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting.
So is that going around really all cool. the Grand Slam tournaments?
I don't know if it's about all the tournaments, but I think I don't know which one it's going to focus on, but obviously a lot of the players will
it's
be.
About the big
yeah.
boys.
Yeah, because they're not going to be around for
no,
ever,
yeah.
are they?
I do think that it's so interesting when they were doing the presenting the awards last night, they were like, and here's our 2-time Grand Slam winner, blah, blah, I don't know, some Australian tennis player who's now in their 50s. And obviously for a generation of some people, that was a name that they would have really
yeah.
known. But I find it so crazy that our kids won't know unless they're really into tennis, our kids won't have heard of Nadal or Federer. Yeah. And the same across all sports. But isn't that just so weird how those generations
work? I still feel like the big three, they are just going to be legends forever. They're like, in the way that people talk about McEnroe, Michael Schumacher.
Or, yeah.
Like,
yeah, or Boris Becker. Or,
yeah, like, know, they're up there. They've dominated for decades between them.
And I guess Murray will have like the British things. So yeah. People will have heard of him too. Yeah, no, maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like it's unusual to have three such good players.
But don't you think about, like, when I think about the England team, to me that is like Rio Ferdinand and Paul Scholes and like Sol Campbell.
What's that? The 98.
But like, I don't think many people, you know.
I don't know. I feel like that's also, it was kind of like a trend thing. It was also like, you know, the footballers' wives.
Right. Yeah, we didn't say David Beckham in that lineup.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, big one.
I suppose I do think of him in that.
Yeah, but they were like, an iconic lineup with the Wags.
You're so right. They were so zeitgeisty. They were. Yeah. That's probably why. Yeah,
it crossed not just sport, basically.
Yeah. So true. Anyway, how are you? What's going on?
I am good. I don't have a huge amount to report of how I'm feeling today, but on Saturday we had quite a chill day. Then Sunday we had a little around the shops and we went to the Conran store and went into Eero and I got a nice jumper on sale.
What's the jumper like?
It's one that I've been eyeing up from the beginning of winter and it was quite expensive, and buying a winter jumper this time of year, you're like, oh, is that a waste? It's a thick wintry jumper, but sometimes it's still really cold in February and I really like the style. It's got kind of big puffy shoulder pads which are actually removable, which is nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, and I feel like kind of come next October I'll be like, oh, I haven't worn that jumper much. So I'll feel invigorated to wear it again.
Yes, you've just invested in your future self.
Exactly.
Georgina, you were on a yoga retreat this weekend.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's nice. That was good.
My first ever yoga retreat. So back in March 2020, my best mate retrained to be a yoga teacher. And so I learned with her over Zoom when she was racking up her teacher training. And then she started doing in real life classes again and then did a proper overnight yoga retreat. So we went Friday into this like converted barn in the countryside and stayed the night. And then on Saturday did a bit more. And then I kind of got home on Saturday afternoon in a bit of a trance, truth be told. I sort of feel still a bit confused. So it was really, really good. And just quite, I don't know, it's just a really intense experience.
Does one just do yoga for the entire time? Like, what is it structured?
So
like,
we did sort of some breathing and meditation, and then we did kind of vinyasa yoga. Then we did yin yoga, which I've not done before, where you hold certain poses for about 3 minutes, and it's really intense, and it's, you're not moving, but it's weirdly kind of releases all these energy pathways in your body.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it definitely has an effect, I would say, that kind of kicks in for hours, if not days afterwards. And then I had a sound bath for the first time.
Do you?
Yeah, I've only done it at festivals, but it's nice.
I found it really odd, I have to say. I
was
like,
loves them.
Yeah.
It was just the weirdest. It's like every cell in my body was kind of fizzing and vibrating, and it goes into your head and your brain. It's so weird. And I kind of thought some people had fallen asleep and some people were talking about lucid dreaming and seeing colors and all this stuff. And I was like, well, nothing, none of that's happened to me. And then I went back to where we were staying and I sat on the sofa and I was like, oh my God, I feel really weird. So clearly it was doing something, but kind of on a level that I can tune into in my kind of conscious mind.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was really enlightening and I would definitely do it again. And my friend is an amazing yoga teacher.
Go and give her a shout out.
So her Instagram is Yoga with Nyx and she does do online classes as well. But if you're based around Southwest London, she does in-person classes. So
and before you started doing it, had you done any yoga before? Was you totally new to it?
So I dipped in and out over the years and I just never gelled with yoga and I wanted to get it, but I just couldn't. And I think it was not the right time in my life, maybe not the right teacher. Maybe I just wasn't ready to kind of receive it, if you want to get a bit woo-woo about it. And now I just feel like I'm in the right place for it. And so I'm doing it every Wednesday anyway with her in a class. I sort of feel like it's been good. And then also this month I've been doing the 30-day yoga journey with Adrienne.
I love her. I do her videos all the time.
She's just brilliant. And so I talked about that on the show when I was on about day 8, but now it's the 31st of January, so we're at the end.
And you stuck to it?
I did stick to it. The only thing I had to do is she didn't release until 10 a.m. So I had to start falling a day behind so I could do it first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then having done the retreat, I am now a couple of days out.
Okay.
But yeah.
Basically, well, you did yoga.
Yeah,
I've made it. It's been brilliant.
Really, do you feel different at the end of it?
Yeah, it's changed how I sit at my desk. It's changed how I walk down the street. The awareness and the kind of mind-body connection, I'd say, is the biggest thing. I've definitely been more toned in my life going to the gym and things like that, but I wasn't going to look for that side.
You don't go to yoga for that, really.
No, actually, I've realised in January I don't want to go to the gym three times a week.
Yeah.
So,
welcome to my page.
It's been a really interesting... I've sort of been like the textbook January person.
No, but actually,
it's
nice.
It's been good. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Anyone got anything to recommend?
So we finally watched King Richard, which is the film about the Williams sisters. Will Smith plays their father and basically his role in why they got to where they are. And it is absolutely fascinating. I just had no idea. I obviously knew he was super integral to their success, but not to this degree. He wrote a manual before they were even born about his two daughters being the greatest tennis players in the world, and that Venus was going to be number one and that Serena was going to be the greatest tennis player in the world.
That just gave me such goosebumps.
It is amazing. And he had this whole plan.
So this is when his wife was pregnant or like... Before
no, I think even before Apple that, yeah.
Twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, so, wow. And he had this plan, and then as they were growing up, if they had opportunities to sort of default from the plan, he would say, nope, they're not doing that. This is their plan. This is their journey, and was really, really strict with what they were doing. And yeah, got to where they are. It's unbelievable.
Likeable guy, or
I wanted to ask that. Yeah, it sounds a bit.
I don't know. It's hard. You're kind of like, are you totally delusional?
It's a bit pathological, isn't it? A tiny bit. Yeah,
but you know, he's so determined. He's so clear on what he wants, and he gets. And one thing that is really amazing that he drums into them the whole time is how polite they are and how grateful they are of their journey. And you know. There's one bit where I think Venus wins her first tournament and like the family come back in the van and they're all like cheering and saying like Venus is the greatest and like, you know, holding her trophy around. And he like stops the car and was like, no, we're going back to practice. You can't show off about this. And it's like really, really drums that into them that they can't be like that. And yeah, it's just a really fascinating story. It made me just appreciate tennis so much more and the level of training that they go into and everything. And yeah, well worth a watch. And Will Smith is fantastic.
That was gonna be my question.
Yeah,
where can you watch it?
We bought it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's well worth a watch.
I saw a series of photos yesterday which was showing a Twitter campaign which basically shows photos of celebrities along with old tweets of theirs like decades ago. The idea is that Twitter has the power to manifest your dreams. So it's a photo of Niall Horan like on stage at Wembley with a tweet saying, just gone to my first X Factor audition, wish me luck. There's a photo of Matthew A. Cherry. I don't know who that is. Anyway, there's a photo of him holding his Oscar with a tweet from June 2012 saying, I'm going to be nominated for an Oscar one day, already claiming it. Like, it's things like that. And Megan Thee Stallion, 2014, I need a team because I promise rap gone take off for me. Her words, not mine. Anyway, cool, right? Like, yeah, I love that idea. And that's, I mean, like, that story, like, what a crazy story of manifestation. That's mad.
And the girls, then, they really believed in it as well. And, you know, when they're interviewed, they say, like, you know, they're going to be the greatest. There's a bit where Nike come to her with an offer and it's like mega. And, you know, she's obviously super young, but she hasn't played the match yet. And she's like, you know, how can they offer this to me without knowing how good I am? Because she hadn't played professional for 2 years in a competitive match. Anyway, I won't say what happens, but it's really good.
God, it's sick. You just have to wonder a story like that, like how much of that is the nature versus nurture thing. Like, if their father set out, then like, do they even have any natural tennis ability? Like, they must have some,
isn't there that stat about how many hours you need to
master
do,
something?
To master,
I think it's 10,000 hours,
that
isn't it?
You can do it. It's also mad how many incredibly successful sports players have a very driven parent behind them.
100%.
Yeah.
I've actually got something to recommend. Yeah. I watched episode one of The Gilded Age.
Oh, yes. I've watched it. Talk to me. What do you think?
I really liked it. Okay.
What's this?
This is the Bridgerton style.
Downton Abbey creator.
Yeah, Julian Fellowes wrote it. I mean, it's basically the same thing. It's about, it was like Gossip Girl, but for the 1800s.
Well, there's some cast overlaps too.
Dorota. Yes, you're right. Dorota pops up as a maid again.
She's the secretary of
oh, you're right.
Mr. Russell, whatever.
Oh, you paid much more attention than I did.
Balls. Well, I didn't even realise that was her.
Yeah.
I didn't spot it actually, but my co-watcher, who's binged it again for the original Gossip Girl for like the third time. Yeah, the whole thing. It's like, oh my God, Dorota.
Didn't realise that.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's about the kind of upper echelons of New York society. They all live on 61st and 5th, don't they?
Yeah,
5th. In these stonking great houses. And two sisters live together, Cynthia Nixon and, why do I always forget,
Christine Baranski.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've seen clips of this.
Yeah, we wrote about it on site, and they are incredibly wealthy. Their brother had no money, he's just passed away, and their niece, who's, I don't know, 20 or something, is coming to live with them, and that is the beginning of the stories. Yeah. So it's very Bridgerton
like. Yeah, it's also very like Downton Abbey, having seen the Christmas specials under duress.
I've actually never watched any of it. Yeah.
But as in, it's the upstairs, downstairs. Like you see, like, what people are doing.
And the snobbery of the downstairs.
Yes.
The snobbery of servants, which is almost worse than the snobbery of upstairs.
It's really interesting. So one of the characters is incredibly nouveau, right? A lot of them are old money.
The new money, old money divide.
And the staff of the new money family have previously worked for old money families and are incredibly snobby about the fact that they now work for this woman. Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting.
And where do you watch it?
This was on Sky.
Yeah, so I've watched it Now TV.
So they're only releasing one a week though, which I hate. I wanted to binge it. I was ready for another one last night.
I've seen quite a few episodes because I previewed it. I've got the first five. I liked it. It's very tame, gentle, cozy.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed it, but I certainly
wasn't. It's not as raunchy as Bridgerton.
There was only one kiss, two men, but it wasn't sexual, really.
No, it's definitely not, you're not on the edge of your seat. Like, what's going to happen next? But it's quite nice for this time of year, you know?
Lovely outfits as well. They go to the beach. And it's like a kind of Bridgerton version of that scene in Little Women. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Also, did you know, so the main girl, the one, she's Meryl Streep's daughter.
Is she?
My goodness, now you say it.
She is.
You can see that.
Now, when you know, you'll see a bit of Meryl character.
Funny.
But her outfits get better and better.
Oh, they become
more sort of prairie-esque, and like, I'm like, yes, I want to wear that, please.
Anyway, let's answer some questions. There are loads of questions today. I'm just going to throw them at you. Okay, somebody has said, birthday weekend in London with husband. Haven't spent a whole weekend since pre-COVID. We've talked about this quite a lot. One thing you do with your husband if you were coming to London for his birthday, Georgina, one thing.
Don't leave your hotel room.
No. All right, good idea.
One thing. You can't just do one thing.
And you're
in London.
We'll suggest something and then we'll have a nice compilation of things.
Okay.
I'll go first. A long boozy lunch.
That's the exact words I was about to say.
Finished off with straight into cocktails.
Great.
With some more booze afterwards.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, Heather.
Straight up to the hotel room.
I went to Maison Francoise.
That's
this
what I was just about to suggest as well. Is it great?
Really liked it.
I told
it.
You. Oh, didn't it's so you, good. You went, I love it. You? Yeah, I meant, did you?
Did I like it?
Great?
Yes. Yes, I really
Isn't
think it was great.
Great, I think I meant to say.
I love the interiors.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
So gorgeous. And
all the food I had was tasty. It's pricey, but it was
food
all
was really good.
Nice.
I went with my non pork eating husband.
Okay.
So I need to ditch him next time and go with someone who will share porky things with me.
It's quite a
piggy menu.
Yeah. Did you have the Marmite Bloody Mary?
No, it wasn't on the menu.
Oh.
I didn't know if I needed to go to Frank's.
I didn't have it in Frank's, but you should also
it was also dinner. I'm not sure.
True. Anyway, I would go there if I was taking someone
I think
to
that's
London.
A lovely date night.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is it?
St. James's.
It's behind Fortnum's.
Yeah.
Okay, boozy lunch. That was basically the only tip.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? If you like exhibitions, go to that. If you like a gig, it depends what.
Shopping.
They're up to.
Yes. Exactly.
Pottering.
Yes. Online shopping strategy. I'm in Oz and want to shop online internationally more. What's your strategy for online shopping? Georgina, are you a knee-jerk purchaser or do you take your time online?
I like to research sometimes online and then go into the shop for the try on and
that's
the purchase.
A good idea.
Unless the shop don't do a returns policy unless you buy it online, because that really annoys me, because sometimes I just need to sort of look at the item at home for a while, try it with other stuff. You know, I think I'm really trying to buy things that I can wear with in like more than one way, you know, and I feel like the only way I can do that is being able to get it home and try it on with stuff.
I think with online as well, like you don't have any sort of time pressure. You can, you know, go away and think about it. It's not going anywhere. Whereas in store, somebody else could just walk past, nab it off you, and then you're not going to go back again. I feel with online shopping is normally where I know what I want to get. And it will be like, yeah, I want said blazer and I know exactly where I'm going to buy it from. I've got a wish list album on my phone of the bits that I'm sort of reviewing.
Thinking about.
That's clever.
Yeah. Anything that I've seen. And then I find, yeah, in store is more spontaneous purchases where I'm like, oh, you know, wouldn't have thought about looking at that brand or that colour or whatever. I really don't buy that much in store.
No. And I sometimes view online shopping as actually I'm purchasing something in order to try it on.
Yeah.
Because I reckon that I return more than I keep, definitely. Mm. Especially if it's something like this, a store like Cezanne or something that doesn't have, I know they have a shop in Notting Hill, but it doesn't have the full range in it. Yeah. So sometimes you are literally just buying so you can see it, touch it, try it on.
Yeah, true.
My husband, he ordered 10 pairs of trousers from Matches on 90-minute delivery. And
you've got to have a serious cash to lay out.
It was the credit card. Well used. And then they all arrived. He tried them on all at once. And then I think eight pairs went back that day.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He said it was so much easier. Yeah.
Because you've just got it all at once.
Like you said, Georgie, he could have tried them on with various different items.
Exactly, and then different shoes and things like that.
Yeah. Okay, somebody has asked favourite midweek recipes. I feel like we talk about this to death, but Heather, I'm going to quickly drill you for yours.
Ooh.
One thing, what are you making for dinner tonight?
It's a boring day, so nothing exciting.
I must tell Laura I'm having salmon Mondays.
Salmon Mondays.
Well, it's Monday and I'm having salmon. So it's Salmon Monday.
Excellent. I've usually got a list on my laptop of what I'm eating, but I haven't done it this week because I've been busy.
Do you?
Just so I know what we've got and what.
We did that like really well in the in lockdown, and then have got back into the habit of being like literally like at 4 o'clock. Oh, should we have a dinner?
That's us.
I think as well, because we are hopefully getting the kitchen done soon. I've got to eat everything in the freezer, so it's quite good. As in, I'm like, right, we've clear got up, some sausages. Right, what are we going to have? It's quite good and cheap, actually, saving a lot of money. I like actually if you get some really nice sausages and then just have it with those like poi lentil packets you can have, and then like wilted spinach. That's nice.
That's nice.
Easy, not too unhealthy. Yeah.
Sausage,
you get really
beans.
Nice sausages.
It's
yeah,
nice dinner. That's
yeah, with cannellini beans as well. Yeah, or like well, butter beans, cannellini. And then cook that in some like garlic and olive oil, and nice.
I hate kidney beans.
I love a cannellini.
Like I love.
I don't mind
a white
it
bean.
In a chili con carne, but otherwise I'm not that bothered by them.
No, me neither. They're hard. I like a bilotti. They've actually got quite a meaty, sausagey, like
they
feel
soak
to
up
them.
Flavors
so
well,
yeah,
really
if you
good
do that in
veggie.
A stew, it kind of gives it that heartiness.
And with you, I love a butter bean.
Yeah.
And a black bean.
And a black bean. Yeah, I like
when it's
bean.
Like Mexican style stuff.
I have been using porcini mushrooms in literally everything I've made in the last 2 weeks. I don't know why, I've just been on a bit of a roll. And absolutely loving it. So dish enhancing.
Ooh.
You have to cook them for quite a long time though.
Speaking of dish enhancing, my favorite chef Nina Parker has brought out a range of sauces from her cookbook Saucy, all called Saucy, and there's four. I think there's like a smoked pesto, a chili oil, a chili sambal, and one other I can't remember. A peanut salsa. They are just incredible. Like you can have the most simple, like, you know, just some noodles, edamame and spinach, add some of that salsa, and it just takes it next level. The flavors are insane. And just the ease of just like having them in your fridge, just being able to like lob a dollop on it, or you know, over salads or leftovers or anything like that. I think if you find veg really boring and you need to eat more, something like that is just such a quick fire way of making it.
Where do you get them?
On her website, on ninaparker.com.
White Mausu do similar ones that are delicious as well, but they're more sort of Asian.
Yeah.
Asian crap.
They're all kind of Asia. They're definitely all, they've all got, you know, a soy and a ginger and like a shallot type vibe in them. So yeah, really, really worth it.
They're vegan as well, aren't they?
Yeah, all vegan.
There's a question here, which is so funny because I was actually thinking about this the other day. I don't know why. I was just in the car. The question is, what would you wear if you were a teacher? Stylish, practical, and not attention grabbing. Because when I think back to what so many of my teachers wore, and even the younger, slightly more stylish ones, so many of them got it so wrong. And I could just have this fabulous teacher wardrobe in my head.
Oh, do tell.
Well, it's quite Reese-y. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's quite like, you've got to be professional. I'm thinking senior school teacher.
Okay.
You know, you have to be relatively dressed. Like, you couldn't wear jeans.
No.
No.
I just think, God, you could wear so many, you could be such a cool teacher so easily, because you just need some great suits with a silk shirt or even a white tee and some heels.
What shoes do you accept? I don't think you should wear heels as
a teacher. You're running around
I think
all the
you
time.
Are,
yeah.
Classroom to classroom. Yeah. I think you can wear heels, but like a kitten heel or a really smart flat.
Yeah. I actually feel like if the fashion now is kind of in line with that look. Mm-hmm. Like tailored trousers are very, very in.
Oversized blazers.
And I feel like flats are more in than heels right now, I would say.
Like my long Arquette boots.
Yeah.
Perfect. That with a nice skirt and an oversized blazer.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you're describing also a workwear wardrobe.
Correct. Yeah. But I just always think you could be a really cool teacher quite easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My some sort of cashmere or merino, like simple crew neck knits.
Oh, nice. And or even like a chunkiest jumper with a silky skirt and a pair of boots.
Yeah, that would look good.
Really nice. Mm-hmm. Your friends?
I was going to say, I've got a couple of friends, my big sort of close friendship group, who are teachers and like quite senior up at their schools. And yeah, one of them is like me, doesn't really wear trousers, but yeah, lots of sort of anthropology dresses and sort of colourful and like patterned, but yeah, you can still wear them with tights and nice Russell and Bromley shoes.
And like a nice long cardigan and a belt or
exactly.
something like that.
Or like, a blazer over the top. But I think she just sort of rotates that all the time.
I just think nothing, you don't want to wear anything tight fit, you know, no leggings,
no
skinnies, nothing even vaguely suggestive or
no cleavage.
Yeah, definitely. No. If in doubt, dress like you and I. Somebody has said, more about fashion and appropriate dressing for occasions, which is quite a big question, but I will say that somebody in our team asked me this week what to wear to a black tie wedding. They'd never been to a black tie wedding before. So we were talking about it. I said, I think it's fine to go skirt and top as long as it's like a smart version of. And then they asked me if they could wear black, and I wanted to know your view. Jewish weddings, you certainly can. I think it's really
you
normal.
You wore that lovely black one, which is really was a needle and thread,
the amazing needle and thread one. And you know, I wouldn't even think twice about it. But I know that that's not always the done thing, or certainly hasn't been the done thing.
I would say a winter wedding that is more into the evening is appropriate. I would say spring summer, I wouldn't wear black.
I wouldn't wear black either in a spring summer. Well, actually, I'd wear like a black slip dress.
Okay.
But that's a different thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's not that it's like not appropriate, but I think you'll stand out. Mm. And I think that's not what you want to do at a wedding.
Georgina, views on black at a wedding?
I feel like a wedding is a celebration, obviously. And therefore, colour is, especially if it's not winter, there's something about, you know, there's flowers and everything sort of pretty and cheerful. Mm. And like you say, to then be in black. Although I have just had a flashback that I did actually once wear black to your summer wedding. Mm. And I did feel a bit awkward, and I did think, oh, I've got that wrong.
So there you go.
I really wouldn't wear black.
Yeah. I said to the colleague that they should wear navy.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
If they weren't sure.
If you want to go dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. What flat sandals will be in this summer? Are there Hermes or runs still in fashion? It's a no from me.
I think it's something chunkier. I think they're the type of thing that will always be around and will always look acceptable, but I think if you want to look a bit more fashion forward, then I wouldn't say they are like gonna complete an outfit.
Yeah,
what do they look like?
They're the ones that just have the H on. They're like a very simple slip with just the H.
Thank you.
There is the, I can never remember the name of them, but there is the chunkier version with a big strap across the front. I really want them.
Yeah,
I really want them in red. Manifesting.
Put it on Twitter.
yeah, I'll tweet it. Good plan. Okay, just a couple more. I love this question. How to help a friend who has terrible dress sense without hurting their feelings?
Ooh.
I think, just for what it's worth, I'm just gonna say my two piece. I think that if they're happy and they feel like they look great, there is absolutely no need to say anything.
Also, if you've got to this stage of the friendship, it's like, I don't know.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think if you are inviting a commentary or some advice on your look, then that is one thing. But yeah, I don't think you should go up to someone and say, you know what you need? A makeover.
No, absolutely not.
I agree. I think it's that you just can't.
Yeah.
And some people make a conscious decision. Someone said to me the other day, you know, I sometimes dress the way I do because I am kind of saying fuck you to the whole idea of fashion and trends, because I don't believe in it. I don't want to follow it. And I don't want people to judge me on how I look and what I'm wearing. So I'm specifically making a choice not to go that way. I was like, God, how refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You like, can't assume.
Stay true to your truth. Totally. Don't you? So if that's and how she's dressing, it might be. There's a probably quite a good reason for that.
You can't assume that everybody needs your help.
Yeah.
No. And also, I just think you can't assume that everybody cares about the way that they look.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Finally. Somebody has said, I need a capsule wardrobe for my weekend hen do to Palma in May. Please help, girls.
Oh my God, fun.
I was going to say, that's a great question.
In May.
In May. So you're hoping for good weather. I should say, May in Mallorca isn't always great. We got engaged in May. It was awful. Poured with rain, freezing cold. So this is, let's assume it's going to be lovely.
Layers.
Yeah, it might not. Yeah. But you might need an umbrella and some wellies. So layer up. It's not guaranteed.
I mean, you can't. I want to know what the theme of the hen is, but I'm going to go with fun. So I would go
post-hen boring.
But like, you know, there's more conservative hens. It could be like, agreed. You know. Whereas I feel like if you're going away, you're going it's out. Like you're going out.
You'll
out.
Need a hen dress or something.
So
you?
Yeah, look for anything sequin. Like when you're doing your Google search of shopping requests.
Well, sorry, you don't need to do a Google search because we rounded up the best hen do.
Oh, wait, is she the hen?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, for my weekend hen do. Yeah.
That's why I think she won't presumably know what the theme or anything like that is. But she'll just want to have nice,
good, white,
fun
bits.
Clothes.
Short, white, fun, sequins. Yeah, we did a really nice edit.
There's on the wedding edition.
There's a lovely one from Free People.
A really cool, pique flower one from Free People. It's really cool.
ASOS actually always have some really fun sequin party bits. Annie's Ibiza, if you want something a bit more unique. Really good shout.
And you got some budget.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think just pack everything white. There's not that many opportunities in life to wear white to occasions, especially since you end up going on a lot of other people's hen do's.
Yeah.
So I think just buy everything white, just have fun with it and wear outrageous things that you never otherwise wear.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Sequins, feathers.
Yeah. Glitter. Before your wedding, you kind of look the best you're ever going to look. That's as well. Also, I think just go for it.
And book a fake tan.
And have a spray tan. Damn. Right. I agree. I'm planning a hen. I was going to tell you about it. But I feel like some of the girls attending listen.
I want to know.
I had a good, good session yesterday planning. I will tell you.
I've got a hen this weekend, actually, but it's just the one day in London, which I'm very appreciative of.
This is a strict
about.
One day in London. Yeah. I'm all about the one day.
I didn't
now.
Have any ennies this year, actually.
No.
I don't want to, again, people listen, but I don't ever want to go on a weekend away for a hen anymore, ever.
Beyond unnecessary.
I just want to do a one day.
Just really quickly, since I'm planning a hen, these are my top rules. If no more than, I mean, £150, I think, should be the maximum. No more than a day.
Yeah.
Or like, if it has to be more, you know, do a dinner, then let everybody go home and then reconvene. Like, don't sleep over anywhere.
Or it's just, it's one night and then one day. Don't let it like drag on to the
next. Yeah, because not everyone's from the area.
Yeah. And not everybody, and like, people have kids and stuff. Yeah. And tell people what they're doing. There is literally nothing worse than being on a hen and being like a grown woman and being dragged from here to there. Yeah. So, you know, this hen, everybody's going to get their itinerary, they'll break down, they'll know what time they can go home.
Yeah.
People don't like not being in control. No, so,
the one I'm going on this weekend, they've been excellent. I got an itinerary this morning, even down to like, please can everyone bring a tenner in cash for the tip? And we're getting the bus, so make sure you've got contactless there for the people from Grimsby who obviously don't know how it works. but as in, they were really, it's not patronising, but it was just like really organised. I know exactly what I'm doing on Saturday.
People like to know what they're going to eat, give them a menu. You know, I think it's all about transparency. Yeah. It was one thing when we were 23 and it was the beginning, but you know, these days
hen fatigue's kicking in.
Hen fatigue kicks in. We're all old now, aren't we?
No one can be fun for 2 days in a row.
Ooh.
First night's always the best night anyway.
I was gonna say,
so hang on, my other big rule there is if you are doing two nights, you have to build up to the second night. I've been on so many hens where the first night is some wild night and then by the second night,
all the Prosecco's gone by Saturday morning and no one wants to drink.
And you can't go over.
Do you know, actually, I've done a few where the first night is like the bridesmaids and the maid of honour and like a much smaller group. And then the second one, more people get involved. And I think that's quite nice. Doing something a little bit more intimate, kind of tee them up.
That's good.
And then the next one.
That's what we're doing for this one in April. But for exactly that reason. And also, you know, they deserve the whole weekend and actually we are going to stay in a hotel, just the bridesmaid, so again she gets a full weekend. But at least it's low-key. Actually, I will say I hope she's not listening. She won't listen to this. We're going to stay at the Hoxton.
Oh, fun.
Because Hoxton is so cheap.
Which one?
London.
There's three now.
We're going to stay at Holborn because we're based in and around Soho. But it's literally, it's £180 for the night, which when you split it between friends, actually is really quite affordable. So if you're looking to do a grown-up hen, and but you want a base in London, I'd really recommend that.
I stayed at the Hoxton in Rome when I went, and that was really, really good.
My friends did for that one.
Nice. Anyway, nice group.
Off kilter. Lovely. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your questions. If you have any more questions or any feedback, do email podcast@showlax.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.